Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily, your daily deep dive into everything happening in the world of Claude and Anthropic. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is May 5th, 2026, and I want to say right up front, today is a day where I actually sat down with my coffee, read the main story we're covering, and then had to go make a second cup of coffee because I needed the time to process.
That is genuinely how I felt this morning, too. Because today's lead story is the kind of announcement that, when it first lands, you read the headline and think, okay, interesting. And then you read who's involved and you think, wait, hold on. And then you read the details and you think, okay, this is actually a really significant moment.
Yeah, it's one of those stories that kind of expands the more you look at it.
It really does. So we're going to spend a lot of time on it today, work through all the angles, talk about what it means for Anthropic, what it means for the AI industry broadly, and what it means for the businesses that this thing is going to be aimed at. We've also got plenty of broader news from across the AI space to work through, and a lot of it connects back to the main story in ways that I think will be illuminating.
There's a lot of thematic connective tissue today, which I love. It's one of those episodes where nothing feels disconnected.
Exactly. So let's get into it. Okay, the story. Here's the headline. Anthropic has announced the formation of a brand new company. Not a new product, not a new API, a separate company with its own structure, its own mission, backed by a consortium of some of the most powerful financial institutions on the planet. The purpose of this company is to help mid-sized organizations implement Claude across their core operations.
And when you say powerful financial institutions?
So the three lead partners named in the announcement are Blackstone, Hellman & Friedman, and Goldman Sachs.
Right. And each one of those names is worth stopping on for a second because I think people might hear them and sort of blur them together as finance people. And it's actually worth understanding what each one brings.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Blackstone first. Blackstone manages over $1 trillion in assets. A trillion. They are one of the largest alternative asset management firms in the world. They own office buildings, data centers, logistics networks, insurance companies, and literally hundreds of private companies across every sector of the economy. When Blackstone says they're interested in deploying AI across mid-sized organizations, they are not being abstract. They have hundreds of portfolio companies that are mid-sized organizations. They have a direct distribution channel to the exact customer base this new company is going to serve.
Which is, I mean, when you put it that way, that's an extraordinary unfair advantage from day one.
It's a massive head start. Now, Hellman & Friedman, they're a San Francisco-based private equity firm. They've made their name over decades of investing in high-quality software and tech-enabled businesses. They understand technology companies from the inside. They have a reputation for being patient, sophisticated operators. Their presence here is less about distribution and more about operational credibility and sector expertise.
And Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs is Goldman Sachs. What they bring is financial services relationships that are unmatched anywhere in the world. If this new company is going to be working with banks, insurance companies, asset managers, and it almost certainly is, Goldman is the door opener you want.
Now, those are the three lead names in the announcement, but there's a whole second tier of investors involved here too, which is worth going through because each name is interesting.
Yeah, go for it.
So beyond the three lead partners, the announcement also lists General Atlantic, Leonard Green, Apollo Global Management, GIC, and Sequoia Capital.
Okay, so General Atlantic, big growth equity firm. They've been investing in tech globally for 4 decades, massive network. Leonard Green, Los Angeles-based private equity firm, lots of experience in consumer and services businesses. Apollo, which is in the same league as Blackstone in terms of scale and alternative asset management. And then GIC.
Tell me about GIC because I think that's the one that jumped out at me the most.
GIC is the Government of Singapore Investment Corporation. It is Singapore's sovereign wealth fund and sovereign wealth funds. They move slowly. They are extremely deliberate. They take a very, very long view. The fact that GIC is in this at the formation stage tells you that this investment was assessed not as a near-term trade, but as a long-term structural position in what they believe is going to be a critical piece of the global economy. That is a different kind of confidence than a venture fund writing a check.
And it also brings something in terms of global reach, right?
Absolutely. GIC has a presence and relationships across Southeast Asia, broader Asia Pacific, and internationally in ways that could be significant as this company thinks about expansion beyond the US market.
And then there's Sequoia at the end of that list, which feels a bit different from all the others.
Sequoia is interesting because they're a traditional venture capital firm, and they were early investors in Anthropic itself. So their presence here could be interpreted a couple of ways. It could be a strategic move to protect and extend their investment in the parent company. It could be that they see this new entity as a standalone high-growth opportunity that merits venture-style returns, probably some combination of both.
The sheer diversity of capital in this deal is striking. Private equity, venture capital, investment banking, sovereign wealth. That's almost every major category of institutional capital participating in a single announcement.
And they didn't all show up for the same reason. Blackstone wants deployment across their portfolio. Goldman wants financial services penetration. Sequoia wants equity upside. GIC wants long-term positioning. They each have different motivations, different time horizons, different return expectations. And they all said yes. That convergence is a meaningful signal.
Let's talk about the core thesis of what the company is actually going to do, because the target market framing is interesting to me. The announcement says mid-sized organizations. Why mid-sized?
So this is the question I've been turning over since I read the announcement this morning. Because when you look at where AI has been deployed at significant scale, it's largely been at the extremes. The very large technology companies are either building their own AI or they have the budget and the talent to integrate whatever they want. Individual consumers and small developers can access the models through APIs directly. But the middle tier, the mid-sized company, the regional manufacturer, the healthcare system with a few thousand employees, the financial services firm that doesn't have a dedicated AI team, that group has been genuinely underserved.
And that's also, as you pointed out, exactly where Blackstone operates.
Exactly where Blackstone's portfolio lives. Most of what Blackstone owns and operates is not Fortune 50 companies. It's companies with hundreds or thousands of employees doing real work in specific industries. And those companies are at precisely the stage where they know they need to do something with AI, they see their competitors experimenting with it, they're getting pressure from their boards, but they don't have the internal capability to figure it out.
There's a consulting analogy here. When McKinsey or Bain goes to pitch a mid-sized company on a strategic transformation engagement, the pitch is, you can't afford to hire the talent we have permanently, but you can hire us for the duration of this project and get access to world-class expertise. And the AI services version of that pitch is probably very similar.
It really is. You can't hire 10 applied AI engineers from Anthropic. The market for those people is insane right now. But you can engage this company and get that expertise applied to your specific situation.
Which brings us to the talent piece of this. Because the announcement specifically uses the phrase applied AI engineers from Anthropic, and I think that phrase is doing a lot of work.
It's doing enormous work. So let me try to explain what I understand about what an applied AI engineer at Anthropic actually is. These are not, and this is important, these are not the people who are developing the core model. They're not the deep learning researchers who are figuring out how to make the next version of Claude more capable. They're the people who sit at the interface between the model and the real world. They take Claude and they figure out how to make it work reliably, safely, effectively in a given use case. They build evaluation frameworks. They design prompting strategies. They build retrieval systems and data pipelines. They handle the edge cases that you only discover in production.
They're practitioners in the fullest sense of the word.
Exactly. And the thing that makes them uniquely valuable in an enterprise deployment context is they know where it breaks. They know what kinds of inputs cause problems. They know the failure modes before they show up in a live system. A consultant from a traditional firm who learned about large language models from a training course 6 months ago doesn't have that knowledge. You can't fake that.
There's a trust element too, right? If I'm a chief executive at a mid-sized company and someone tells me that the team that's going to implement AI in my operations includes people who actually built Claude at Anthropic, that's a credential that's hard to compete with.
Hard to overstate. And in regulated industries especially, financial services, healthcare, anything where there's regulatory scrutiny of technology decisions, having that credibility behind your implementation partner is meaningful. It changes conversations with your board, with your regulators, with your auditors.
Let me push you on the talent question a bit more, because I see a potential tension here. If you're an applied AI engineer who joined Anthropic because you want to push the frontier of what AI can do, is going to work at this services company appealing? Or is that a downgrade from your perspective?
That is a real tension, and I'm glad you raised it. Because there is a difference between the kind of work you do pushing the frontier of model capabilities and the kind of work you do deploying AI in a claims department or an underwriting workflow. They're both hard, and they're both interesting, but they're interesting in different ways. And people who are drawn to Anthropic at the research end might not be drawn to the implementation end.
On the other hand,
there is a genuinely different audience of people who find the implementation work compelling precisely because of its real-world stakes. Like, figuring out how to make AI work safely in a healthcare triage system in a way that actually improves patient outcomes without creating new failure modes. That is a hard, meaningful, important problem. And for some people, that is more interesting than the next benchmark improvement.
The proof of work problem, in some sense. Taking something that works in a lab and making it work in the real world under real conditions.
Which is often harder than the research work, honestly. The real world is messy in ways that labs don't anticipate.
Let's talk about competition for a minute, because this announcement doesn't happen in a vacuum. When Microsoft and Google and Amazon see this, what do?
They don't sit still. That's what they do. And I think the responses are slightly different for each of them. Microsoft's natural response is to accelerate their partner and professional services ecosystem. Lean harder on the Accentures and Infosices and Capgeminis of the world, who are certified Microsoft partners and who do exactly this kind of implementation work. Bundle more services offerings alongside Copilot. Microsoft has extraordinary distribution through existing enterprise relationships, and they will use that.
Google similarly has deep enterprise penetration through cloud and workspace.
And Amazon through AWS Professional Services. The thing is, for all three of those companies, AI services is one practice among many. For this new Anthropic company, it is the whole business. And focus does matter. The companies that win in professional services tend to be the deeply specialized ones, not the generalists.
And the new company has a specific technological advantage that the generalists can't replicate. They're coming from the team that built the model they're deploying.
Which creates a virtuous cycle, potentially. As they do more deployments, they learn more about what works and what doesn't across different industries and use cases. They feed that back into how they think about Claude's development. And the model gets better in the ways that matter most for enterprise use. That's a flywheel that no competitor can easily copy.
Now let me ask you something that I think deserves its own moment of airtime, which is the Anthropic safety mission angle. Because this company has always been very vocal about their commitment to developing AI responsibly. And there's an interesting question about whether enterprise services, with the commercial pressures that come with it, creates tension with that mission.
This is genuinely important, and I don't want to gloss over it. Because, look, it's easy to talk about AI safety when your product is a research paper or a consumer API. It's a different thing when you are deploying AI into a system that's making decisions that affect people's access to credit. Or their healthcare outcomes, or whether their insurance claim gets approved. The stakes are higher, the failure modes are more consequential, and there's real pressure to move fast.
And enterprise clients are not always patient about waiting for the safe way to do something.
They have quarterly targets. They have cost reduction mandates. They have CEOs who have just promised their board that they're going to be an AI-first organization by end of year. And when you're the implementation partner, you feel that pressure.
So how does Anthropic's safety culture survive that commercial pressure?
I think the best case scenario, and this is genuinely the best case, not a guaranteed outcome, is that the applied AI engineers from Anthropic bring with them not just technical skills, but a set of practices and frameworks around how to build AI systems responsibly, how to design human oversight into workflows, how to build evaluation pipelines that catch failure modes before they hit production, how to create documentation and audit trails. Those practices, if they become part of the standard engagement methodology, could actually raise the quality of enterprise AI deployment across the industry, not just for clients of this company.
The new company as a standard setter for responsible enterprise AI deployment.
That's the aspirational version. And honestly, given the investors involved, these are sophisticated institutions with real reputational exposure. Blackstone is not going to let this company do something that blows up catastrophically in a client's operations and ends up in front of a Senate committee. There are reputational and commercial incentives that align with doing this carefully.
The downside of a bad outcome is significant for every party involved.
For every party. You don't put Goldman Sachs' name on something and then do it carelessly. Those firms understand downside risk very well.
Let's step back one more time and think about the really big picture here. Because I think there's something happening with this announcement that goes beyond just Anthropic's corporate strategy.
Yeah, say more.
So the first phase of modern AI was, can we build models that are actually capable of impressive things? And the answer, over the last few years, has emphatically been yes. The second phase was, can we build products that developers and consumers can use to do useful things? API access, chatbots, embedded AI features. And again, yes. But the third phase, the phase I think we're now entering, is about how this actually gets embedded in how the real economy works. Not in tech companies. In the insurance company in Des Moines, the manufacturer in Stuttgart, the logistics firm in Singapore. And that phase requires a completely different set of capabilities.
Business process expertise, domain knowledge, change management, organizational psychology, almost.
And the companies that win that phase might be different from the companies that won the first two phases. The model builders and the platform providers were the winners of phases one and two. Phase three might favor a different kind of player.
And Anthropic is making a bet that they want to be that player. Rather than just being the engine that somebody else puts in their car, rather than being commoditized as an ingredient in somebody else's platform, they want a seat at the table when the actual business transformation happens.
That's the move from ingredient to outcome. And outcomes are worth a lot more than ingredients, generally.
Much more. And this is the thing that I keep coming back to. If you're just the model provider, the pressure on you is always going to be toward commoditization. Even if Claude is genuinely better, and there's a good argument that it is, the pressure from competitors and from customers to treat models as interchangeable is real. But if you're the company that actually transformed how a regional bank processes loan applications or how a healthcare system manages patient communication, that's a track record and a relationship that has very different competitive dynamics.
Durable competitive advantage through demonstrated outcomes rather than benchmark scores.
Exactly. And that's a much more defensible position long term.
All right, I think we've done this story real justice. There is so much more that's going to emerge as this company actually gets off the ground. What the first clients are, how the talent pipeline gets built, what industries they focus on first, what the early results look like. We'll be watching all of it very closely and bringing it to you here.
Very closely. This is a story we're going to be covering for years, I think.
So switching gears a bit, and this actually connects to something we've been seeing throughout the broader AI industry news this week, there's a consistent theme in the reporting and the conversation across industry channels about what you might call the implementation gap. The distance between what AI can theoretically do and what it's actually doing in most organizations.
Yeah, this has been coming up constantly, and it's almost universally the same description of the problem. The technology works, the demos are impressive, but translating that into operational reality is where organizations are getting stuck.
What are the specific sticking points that keep coming up?
A few consistent ones. First, data readiness. A lot of mid-sized companies have data that's messy, siloed, poorly documented, spread across legacy systems that were never designed to talk to each other. And you can't just plug a language model into that and expect good results. You need to do real data infrastructure work first. And a lot of companies underestimate how much work that is.
And how long it takes.
The second sticking point is workflow redesign. A lot of organizations try to graft AI onto existing workflows, just add AI here, add AI there, rather than asking whether the workflow itself should be fundamentally different in a world where AI is available. And you tend to get mediocre results from that approach. The bigger wins come from thinking from scratch about how you'd design this process if AI were available from the start.
Which requires a level of process re-engineering sophistication that a lot of organizations don't have in-house.
Right. And this is where having a partner with experience across many different organizations in your industry becomes valuable. They've seen what the redesigned workflow looks like. They know what the before and after looks like. They're not starting from zero every time.
Third sticking point?
People. Change management. The human dimension. A lot of AI deployments that technically work still fail because the people who are supposed to use them don't trust them or don't understand how to work with them effectively or feel threatened by them and find ways to route around them. That is not a technology problem. That's an organizational behavior problem. And it requires investment in training, in communication, in addressing legitimate concerns about job security and skill relevance.
And that's something that a technology company that just sells software is not particularly well positioned to help with.
No, but a services company that embeds with a client for months and actually works alongside the teams that are going to be using the AI, that's a much better position to help navigate those dynamics.
There's been interesting discussion happening in the financial services space specifically, which, as we noted, is clearly going to be a target market for this new company given Goldman's involvement. What's the state of play there?
Financial services is fascinating because it's simultaneously one of the industries with the most obvious potential for AI transformation and one of the industries with the most significant structural barriers. On the potential side, you have enormous amounts of structured data. You have processes that are highly repetitive and rule-bound. You have decision-making that currently requires expensive expert time but could be augmented significantly with AI. Loan underwriting, fraud detection, compliance review, customer service, financial planning, all of these are areas where the potential impact is enormous.
And the barriers?
Regulation, primarily. Banking regulators in every major jurisdiction are actively developing frameworks for how AI can be used in decisions that affect consumers' financial lives. You have to be able to explain your decisions. You have to demonstrate that your models are not perpetuating discrimination. You have to maintain audit trails. And those requirements are not trivial from a technical standpoint. Building an AI deployment that is both effective and auditable and explainable is harder than building one that's just effective.
And that's actually an area where having Anthropic's people involved could be a differentiator, right? Because they've been doing serious work on model interpretability and reliability that most companies haven't.
Significant work. Anthropic has been one of the companies most focused on understanding what's actually happening inside these models. Not just whether they produce good outputs, but why and how to make their behavior more predictable and understandable. That technical depth on the interpretability side translates directly into being able to build AI systems that can satisfy regulatory scrutiny.
There's also been discussion about healthcare as another major vertical. And that's another area where the combination of enormous potential and significant regulatory and ethical complexity makes the implementation challenge particularly acute.
Healthcare is such a rich and fraught space for AI. The potential is profound. You have clinical decision support, patient communication, administrative burden reduction, medical coding, and documentation. These are all areas where AI can genuinely free up clinician time and improve outcomes. But the risk profile is high. A wrong recommendation in a clinical context has different consequences than a wrong recommendation in, say, a marketing email.
And the liability question in healthcare is significant.
Very significant. Which again creates demand for an implementation partner that can help you deploy AI in ways that maintain appropriate human oversight, that have clear accountability structures, that create documentation that protects the institution and the clinicians. That's not something a hospital's IT department figures out on its own.
One thing I've been noticing in how people are reacting to this announcement in various corners of the AI community is a debate about whether this is good or bad for Anthropic's core research mission. Some people are saying this is commercialization that will inevitably distract from safety research. Others are saying, actually, deploying AI in high-stakes real-world contexts is the best way to learn about failure modes and drive better safety research.
I find myself in the second camp, to be honest, because, and I think this is an underappreciated point, a lot of safety concerns about AI are actually safety concerns about AI deployed in the real world, doing real things with real consequences. Building an AI that behaves well in a lab is necessary, but not sufficient. You learn things from large-scale, real-world deployment that you cannot learn any other way. And if those lessons can feed back into how Anthropic develops the next generation of Claude, that's actually valuable for the safety mission, not contrary to it.
The proof of safety is in the deployment.
Ultimately, yes. You can't claim your AI is safe without actually proving it is safe under real-world conditions. And you can't do that without real-world deployment at scale.
There's also been interesting conversation about what this means for the AI talent market more broadly. Because right now, there is a genuine war for talent happening in the AI space. The number of people with deep expertise in large language model deployment is limited, and the demand is enormous.
The talent market is wild. And one of the effects of this announcement, if the new company hires significantly, is that it creates another high-prestige destination for AI talent that's specifically focused on applied deployment rather than research. That changes the career trajectory options available to people entering the field.
So instead of the choice being work at a big lab doing research, work at a big tech company building products, or start your own company, you now have this additional option of working on a high-impact enterprise deployment with strong institutional backing.
And for a certain profile of person, someone who wants to see their work have immediate, tangible impact in the real world, someone who finds the business problem side of AI as interesting as the technical side, that's potentially a very attractive option. You're not writing papers, you're not optimizing benchmark scores, you're in a hospital or a bank or a manufacturing firm watching AI change how that organization operates. That's meaningful work.
There's been some discussion about the international dimension of all of this as well. The AI industry has largely been dominated by US-based companies, but the application of enterprise AI is inherently global. And the GIC involvement in this new company is interesting in that context.
Yeah. Singapore has positioned itself very deliberately as a hub for AI governance and deployment in Asia. The Monetary Authority of Singapore has been one of the more thoughtful regulators globally in terms of developing frameworks for AI in financial services. GIC being in this deal brings not just capital and relationships, but also a window into how to navigate the regulatory and cultural landscape for AI deployment across Asia Pacific, which is a massive market.
And a market where there's enormous appetite for the kind of productivity improvements that enterprise AI can deliver, but also real variation in regulatory environments and data sovereignty requirements that make a cookie-cutter approach impossible.
That localization challenge is real. What works for a US regional bank doesn't automatically work for a bank in Singapore or Japan or India. You need people who understand the local context. And having GIC as a partner gives you relationships and legitimacy in that part of the world that you couldn't easily build from scratch.
All right, I want to come back to one more thing that's been on my mind throughout this whole conversation, which is the question of timing. Why now? What is it about this moment that made this the right time for this announcement?
I think a few things converged. First, the models have gotten genuinely good enough. A year or two ago, you could make a reasonable argument that the reliability and capability of the models wasn't quite at the level required for consequential enterprise deployment. That argument is much harder to make now. Claude and other frontier models have gotten to a level of capability and reliability where serious organizations feel comfortable building on them for real work.
The technology crossed some kind of threshold.
A threshold of enterprise trustworthiness, yeah. Second, and maybe more importantly, the competitive window is open now, but it won't be open forever. The big platform companies are building out their enterprise services capabilities. The management consulting firms are trying to build their AI practices. If Anthropic is going to establish a position in enterprise AI services, they need to move now, while the market is still being formed. Waiting another 2 years means competing against entrenched players who've already been doing this for 2 years.
First mover advantage in a new market segment.
Exactly. And the third thing, and I think this is important, Anthropic has been in business long enough to have a track record with enterprise clients to understand what those clients actually need, to have developed repeatable approaches and methodologies. You couldn't have done this 3 years ago because you didn't have that knowledge base. Now you do.
So it's the right technology maturity, the right market timing, and the right organizational readiness all converging at once.
And then you add the right partners. Because finding a group of investors with the right combination of capital, enterprise distribution, and sector expertise, that's not something you can manufacture on demand. These partnerships take time to develop. When all of those things line up, you move.
When the window is open.
When the window is open.
All right, I think that's really a comprehensive picture of where this all sits. We've talked about what the company is, who's behind it, what it's going to do, what it means for Anthropic, what it means for the competitive landscape, what it means for the AI industry broadly, and what the open questions are going forward.
And there are a lot of open questions. We don't know what the financial structure looks like in detail. We don't know which industries they're going to focus on first. We don't know how the talent pipeline works. We don't know what the initial engagement model looks like. Is it time and materials? Is it outcome-based? Is it subscription style? All of that is going to become clearer as the company actually starts operating.
And we'll be here to cover it as it does.
We will be right here.
All right, that is going to do it for today's episode of Claude Daily. It was a big one. One of those episodes where a single story has enough substance to carry the whole show. And I think today's announcement genuinely earned that treatment.
It really did. The formation of this new enterprise AI services company, backed by Blackstone and Hellman and Friedman and Goldman Sachs and the whole extraordinary consortium behind them. This is one of those strategic moves that we're going to be looking back on in a few years as a turning point. Either it worked, and you're going to say, yeah, that's when Anthropic planted its flag in the real economy. Or it ran into challenges, and you're going to say, that's when the implementation reality of enterprise AI became visible in a new way. Either direction, it's a major story.
And honestly, we'd be interested to cover either outcome. The best stories aren't always the triumphant ones. Sometimes the complicated ones are more interesting.
Sometimes the complicated ones teach you more.
100%. If you've been thinking about today's story and you have a perspective we didn't get to, maybe you work in one of the industries we talked about. Maybe you've been on the client side of AI implementation. Maybe you work in the AI space yourself. We genuinely want to hear from you. The best part of doing a show like this is the conversations it starts outside the episode.
Seriously, reach out. We read everything that comes our way.
And if today's episode gave you something useful, a way to think about AI deployment in your own organization, a better understanding of how the pieces of the AI industry fit together, share it with someone in your world who would appreciate it. That's genuinely how this show grows and how we're able to keep doing it.
Every share matters more than you might think.
It really does. All right, I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam.
Thanks for starting your Tuesday morning with us. We'll have a fresh episode for you tomorrow morning. See you then.
See you then. Take care, everyone.